The Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show contains explicit language and is intended for mature audiences only. But just because you're mature doesn't mean you can't be a little naughty.
Money in the Bank 2023 preview and predictions. Very interesting Money in the Bank this year, taking place at the O2 Arena in London, England. For our local homeboys in the Northeast area, that means this show will air live at 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 1st. If you don't live in the Northeast, obviously go check your local time and schedule. But we are here to do preview and predictions and maybe even a little bit of what may transpire beyond Money in the Bank. But I'm not alone tonight. This is the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show. You know, I just realized it. Let's do the introduction first. I am Don, Tony. Join along with me is...
Kev Castle, what's going on, man?
No, not much. You know, I just realized our old intro is almost like the Seth Rollins promo. When I would go, I am Don Tony. He is Kevin Castle. It's almost like, I am a visionary.
Oh, God.
I am a revolutionary. Well, Money in the Bank this Saturday. We got 7 matches announced. Don't think anything will be added last minute because this is already pretty stacked. I'm going to just run down the list of matches right now very quickly because we're going to basically in the beginning tell everyone what match we are looking forward to the most, right, which one we're looking forward to the least, and then we're going to give our predictions. So we have... For the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, Ricochet versus Shinsuke, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Butch, Damian Priest, and Logan Paul. On the women's side, we have Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Trish Stratus, Io Sky, and Bayley. We have Dominic Mysterio taking on Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor, the Bloodline Civil War, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the Usos, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler defending the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And we have Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Matt Riddle. Kev, which match are you looking forward to the least? Which match are you looking forward to the most?
The most, definitely Civil War. And I love the poster with the Usos and with Reigns and Solo. It looks like a Marvel Comics thing. I mean, even the Civil War. I mean, there was a Marvel movie called Civil War. So I'm looking forward to that the most. The least, honestly, it's probably going to sound weird because they match up well and, you know, they have a history. But I'm not really looking at Finn Balor and Seth Rollins that much. I don't think Finn's going to win. And I like the promo that he cut on Raw yesterday and with the history and Finn having the serious voice and everything. But I don't see him. I don't know. I'm just not really looking forward to that. I mean, the Money in the Bank's fun because you really don't know who's going to win. That's a tough prediction. And now Logan Paul added to it. People like, oh, Vince is definitely going to give it to him. I still think LA Knight's going to get it. But we can get into that later. But, yeah, Civil War is, I mean, if they just had the Civil War match and just a bunch of, you know, bullshit matches, I would be happy with that. There's the poster right there. It looks awesome.
Yeah. For me, the match that I'm looking forward to the least is Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Not that I'm not fans of all four women, but I think not only is the match very, very predictable, but I don't feel like they're even going to give all that much time with this. I'm very disappointed that neither women's championship is being defended at this event. They're doing Oscar Charlotte Flair the night before. Rhea Ripley is just stuck with Natalya, with all due respect to Natalya. The match that I'm looking forward to the most, believe it or not, is Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. It sounds strange, but I think there's going to be so much chicken shit antics with Dominic Mysterio. Rhea Ripley will be in Dominic's corner, and it makes you think, will we possibly see Brandi Rhodes make an appearance for Cody? I'm not sure, but that doesn't mean that I'm not looking forward to the other matches, but Dominic Mysterio, you know, I think we're going to look back at this match, and it's going to be similar, and hear me out, it's going to be similar to Omos versus Brock Lesnar, Omos versus Braun Strowman. And what I mean by that is, you know, like, people were really, like, crapping on the match, and I think when everything is said and done, people are going to be like, damn, that was a pretty damn good match.
Yeah.
They are really high on Dominic Mysterio, and, you know, Cody Rhodes, obviously, you know, the eye in the prize is still Roman Reigns' championships. You know, we just have to, you know, chew up time between now and WrestleMania, but want to get into predictions.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, I guess let's kick it off. Well, you choose the match. Which one you want to talk about first?
Why don't we talk about Riddle versus Gunther?
Okay. All right. Gunther versus Matt Riddle for the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther is obviously on a major roll. It's interesting when you look back how long WWE was planting the seeds for this match, and they're finally pulling the trigger at Money in the Bank. I'm really looking forward to this match. My only problem about it is that the Imperium have punked out Riddle so many times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know the outcome. It's going to be, you know, a nice battle, but I mean, is there any doubt Gunther retaining the Intercontinental Championship? To me, there's no doubt. It's got to be Gunther.
Has he's what is the situation with him and Honky Tonk Man? Is he just about on the cusp of beating that, or well, do we know what how long he has to go?
Well, you know what? I will in a moment. I will look up. Let's see, longest IC title reigns. Okay, here's the 13 longest Intercontinental. Now, I don't know exactly how long Gunther's is right now, but I could, okay, right, I could tell you the Magnificent Morocco is number 4 at 384 days.
I remember that early 80s.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so he's got to pass Morocco still.
Okay.
Then after that, he's got to pass the Macho Man Randy Savage, who held it for 414 days.
That's right, yeah.
It's pretty strange when you look back on it that he won it in early 86 and kept it for over a year.
Yep.
I mean, it was really under the radar at that time. Yeah, I mean, because of Hogan, obviously, but Macho Man, 414 days. Then number 2 is Pedro Morales, which was 424 days, so it's not that far after that. And then you have the Honky Tonk Man at 454 days.
Oh, wow. So, and what's Gunther up to now?
Maurice says 383. So
383.
Yeah, so if he is going to go to 455 days, that's 72 days from now. That's only a little more than 2 months.
So basically, he's got to take it through SummerSlam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think SummerSlam is back to August this year, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is going down August. In fact, I will get you the date in a second. SummerSlam 2023. That will be taking place. Here it is. It will take place on August 5th, Ford Field.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's no, I don't think anybody has a doubt that they want Gunther to beat this record. They want him to go to number one.
Yeah.
So I think because let's face it, this will never happen again for quite a while. Who they're going to put the gas behind like this again? Maybe Bron Breakker down the road or somebody like that. But I think Vince wants to get this done, like you said last time, Anthony. They want to kind of update the books and get some modern wrestlers to get some quote unquote records out from the old school. Yeah. I think they want to do it for Endeavor, so Endeavor has some bragging rights once they take over the company.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If you look at, I'm looking at this list right here of the top 13 reigns of all time, and it's interesting how many of those 13 top reigns are old school, because you got Tito at 13, Ken Patera at 12, Pat Patterson at 11, and then Cody Rhodes is ranked number 10. He had it for 234 days, wow. Which is very interesting. Shelton Benjamin had it for 244. The Rock had it at 264. But then after that, it's all old school again. Mr. Perfect, Greg Valentine, Don Morocco, Macho Man, Pedro Morales, and the Honky Tonk Man. So we've really not had like a clear mega star in the last 20 years. I'm not saying that Shelton's not a star or even Cody when he had the reign, but they weren't top-tier talent.
No, they weren't. So I guess not even Batista or John Cena had the belt for that long or any guys like them. Wow. And not even The Rock, I guess, wasn't champion for a long time with the IC belt, right?
Yeah, he only had it 264 days.
What about Ultimate Warrior?
Ultimate Warrior is not on this list. I mean, Ultimate Warrior, I think probably because he, you know, he ended up beating Hogan and, you know.
And then he gave up the belt.
Yeah, he had to give up the belt. So, but yeah, I think we all agree that Gunther not only will retain, but Gunther is on his way to having the longest reigning Intercontinental Championship of all time.
Yeah, it's 2 months away, and he'll definitely do it. And Reigns is on the cusp of beating Pedro Morales right now, right?
Yes, Roman Reigns is right on the cusp of it, and he's going to pass him. I mean, the way that they're using Roman Reigns right now, this is the second premium live event in a row that he's not defending the heavyweight champion, well, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. He just beat Rey Mysterio at a house show, which is in the record book. It is a stat. But outside of that, you know, who is he going to face at SummerSlam, which, you know, we'll get into later when we discuss, you know, the Bloodline Civil War. I guess I'll pick the next match, which I think is the most predictable one of the most predictables of the night. I think at least two or three of these matches, the outcomes are very predictable. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler defending the undisputed WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. A lot of people are hoping that Rhea Ripley starts feuding with Raquel. Now I'm not so sure. Since WWE insisted on putting Liv and Raquel back together.
Yeah.
You know, like, we had the stare down with Rhea and Raquel a couple of weeks ago, and then Liv is ready to return. And they could have gone a totally different route with Liv Morgan. I mean, I could understand why they're going for this shot, because they never lost the tag team championships. They had to relinquish it because of Liv Morgan's injury. But outside of this match, I'm hoping that Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez do not remain a tag team. I think they need to go their separate ways. Maybe somebody attacks Liv Morgan in the back and forces that, you know, like singles feud. But I say Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler retaining.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's good to see Liv back. I didn't know she was coming back so quick. I thought she was going to be out longer.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to see them sacrifice Raquel the other night on Rollers against Ronda Rousey beating her, you know, because I just thought that, you know, why they, again, questionable things with some of their future stars. I don't know, testing them, I'm not sure, but it does seem like that's a Vince thing. But I figured Vince was high on Raquel Rodriguez. I didn't know if she's like a Triple H girl. Yeah, I think you're right. They'll retain, but I think after that, if there's another rematch at SummerSlam or a TV match, Raquel and Liv will get the belts back because they never lost them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, I think, and like you brought up Endeavor, I mean, when you talk about Endeavor touting, you know, like the WWE UFC relationship, having Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler walking around with gold, I mean, talk about a crossover. You got two women that could fight in the MMA octagon, and they're WWE Tag Team Champions. So I think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to have an extended run.
Yeah, possibly. It depends. With Liv Morgan back now earlier than expected, I don't know why would they put then Raquel back with her.
That's true. Maybe just for, you know, to justify the match. And you know what's interesting, Kev? They're having Money in the Bank in the UK. Wouldn't it have been made more sense? I know they're not top-tier talent yet, and I know that they're not completely accepted by the WWE Universe yet because they're new on the main roster. But don't you think that maybe a rematch with Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler at Money in the Bank would have fitted a little bit more just to get that international flavor? You know, maybe to get a little... I mean, look, the crowd is obviously going to be huge behind Liv Morgan and Raquel. But, or even do a three-way. Why not? Yeah. You know what they could have done? When Ronda and Shayna won the tag titles last week and Raquel Rodriguez was sitting at ringside and, you know, Shayna Baszler was like, why are you out here? And she says, I want the titles back, you know, that we never lost. And, you know, Shayna and Ronda Rousey playing dumb, like, who's we? And then Liv Morgan comes out. What they could have done on Raw is had Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn come out and say, we never got our rematch. And they could have made it a three-way at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, they could have. You're right.
You know, and it would have gotten a nice, you know, hometown. And you know what? To have Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn wrestling at Money in the Bank, that crowd reaction would have been heavily inflated compared to the American WWE main roster audience.
Yeah,
so they probably should have done a three-way. But the outcome, I think, still would have been the same. Seth freaking Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. Kev, is there any doubt of Seth Rollins possibly losing this belt this quickly?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it could happen. I don't know. Maybe they can do a thing where Finn Balor's kind of owed it after what happened. That's why they're playing up that 7 years ago incident. And also, it's in the UK. I'm going to still go with probably Seth Rollins, but it wouldn't be like total like floored shock if Finn Balor got the belt.
Do you think they would do a clusterfuck finish where maybe Finn Balor gets disqualified?
Because of Damian Priest interfering or something?
Maybe
like
Damian
that.
Priest interfering, or maybe Finn Balor just snaps and he just starts beating the fuck out of Seth Rollins. Because if Seth Rollins loses the championship this soon, people will call it a joke because they're already trying to overcome the trinket championship, you know, like a token championship, because this was created for Raw. So Seth Rollins has to have the impressive run, wrestle everywhere, NXT every week or every other week. You know, he's got to be out there. But Finn Balor, I got to be honest with you. I'm into Finn Balor more for this match than I am Seth Rollins. And Finn Balor is on fire right now. I personally think once Seth Rollins wins, if he beats Balor at Money in the Bank, like, who does he feud with next? It's not going to be Gunther. What are we going to get, Omos? Like, who really is going to break out and possibly go after him? Whoever wins the briefcase, I don't think they're cashing in anytime soon. So I have a feeling that Seth Rollins will win, but maybe on disqualification as a reason to continue this feud further. I almost feel like Seth Rollins and Finn Balor could possibly go into SummerSlam. And maybe they have some type of big-time stipulation. I don't want to say Hell in the Cell because you don't want Balor to start getting that, you know, that little bit of history that every time he's in Hell in the Cell, you know, he gets his ass handed to him because, you know, he had the war with Edge, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Seth Rollins to win, but by disqualification.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll agree with that.
Okay. Cody Rhodes taking on Dominic Mysterio with Rhea Ripley in his corner. I think the big question everybody is wondering more than anything is, will Brock Lesnar show up?
I think it's a possibility. I think it's more than 50-50. Brock will be there.
What do you think? Are we pretty much in agreement Cody Rhodes is going to beat Dominic Mysterio?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll, then, because people are like, oh, you should put Dominic over. I'm like, nah, I don't see that. There'll be some chicanery with Dominic. If Dominic does get a win, it's because maybe Brock does something to fuck Cody Rhodes up. And then Cody and Brock will have the conclusion of the feud at SummerSlam.
I mean, we all pretty much know that it's going to be Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Whether Brock shows up at Money in the Bank or he shows up at Raw or the following Raw afterwards, okay. But do you have a problem with this match? Because the one thing that I've seen over the last couple of weeks is this, oh, you know, finish the fucking story already. You're like, Cody Rhodes, like, why are they having him take on Dominic Mysterio? It's so random. You know, just looking back at old school with Dusty, because you know a lot of this has Dusty's fingerprints all over it, even though they don't want it to make so obvious for the younger fans out there. But do you really have a problem? Because I had no problem whatsoever. You know, because, like, you're the one that brought it up. You know, you had Dusty, you know, feuding with this person and feuding with this person, you know, even though he was on the road to beating Ric Flair for the championship. Did you really have a problem with this, or you feel like, you know, WWE should have just continued him and Brock?
No, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I'm fine with the way they're handling it. I mean, we could find complaints, a reason to complain about anything, but I'm kind of okay with the situation of how they're handling the whole thing.
If I told you a year ago that Dominic Mysterio would be in the position that he's in right now, I mean, I know the crowd, you know, the end thing is to get, you know, like really under his skin and everything like that. But did you think that he would be clicking this well in the last year?
No, because I didn't know. I mean, just because he turns heel doesn't. They gave the fans a reason to not like him. I mean, he's a good kid, legitimately. I mean, yeah. I think everybody knows that. But the character is so fucking insufferable. And then they team with Rhea, who's also insufferable. just the whole group, you know. I mean, I think Damian Priest out of the four of them is the coolest one to cheer for. That's why I could see him turning babyface.
Yeah.
Because even Finn Balor is kind of bratty and always bitching. But, I didn't think Dominic would be this hated. But I'll say this, much like the whoa chance for Seth Rollins, the incessant boos where they're not letting Dominic talk, it's a couple of months in and I'm already like done with it. I'm not enjoying it as much as I thought I would. You know, usually the woos and the whats and all the things that people chant, the yes, this is irritating me much quicker than I thought. And so, just like Seth Rollins saying, it's making me not think that they're like a cool hero, cool baby face. I actually tune out. I wait about 5 minutes now. When Seth Rollins is coming out, I lower the TV. I go get a drink because I know this is going to go on. And then when I got back, it's still going on. And everyone's like, isn't this amazing? I'm like, no, it's taking up time of the show. And also, Dominic Mysterio is not getting to talk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Is that our goal to show? We want him to cut a promo. I don't want to have him like legitimately say, well, you know, now I can't talk. I mean, you know, I don't want the fans overtaking the show is basically what I'm saying. I don't enjoy that anymore.
Does Dominic with that? Does it give you Vicky Guerrero vibes when she used to?
Yeah,
do the
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But again, I think the crowd now even knows that the announcers are talking about, like, even Corey Graves will make a comment. Like, you know, these fans going to let him talk, and they're like, oh, no, let's keep doing it. So it's like a ass backwards encouragement that I think is going to the people at home, or I even see people here in the chat, and I saw people posting yesterday, even though I didn't really watch Raw yesterday. I was kind of flipping back and forth between the movie and the game and the ball game. And people are saying, yeah, I'm not liking this. I'm not liking the hijacking of the show. This is not ECW 95. In modern day, there's barely people getting any TV time, so I literally think we can't afford to have 5 minutes wasted with the crowd singing a song.
I agree. I don't mind it to an extent, but it is the wrestler's responsibility to reel it in, especially with Seth Rollins. Yeah. Because even when he had that interaction with Balor 2 weeks ago and the crowd wouldn't stop.
Oh, you know, Balor looked legitimately annoyed, and I can imagine that he was, because he did have a promo to cut, and they are, as you know, DT, they're counted down, like from the ref or the announcers, like, 2 minutes and go home, because I can't fucking talk.
Yeah.
So people are like, that's so cool. I don't see it as cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that leaves three matches. We have both ladder matches for the Money in the Bank briefcases, and we have the Bloodline Civil War. So I guess let's go with the women's Money in the Bank ladder match first.
Okay.
We have Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Trish Stratus, Bayley, and Io Sky. Kev, who is your pick to win the briefcase?
I love Trish is one of my favorites, but I'm going to go with somebody that a lot of people are going with. She's grown on me. I didn't care for her too much when she was in NXT because I just, again, I'm not connecting to this girl. Like, I mean, it's the lack of the English promos. It's I was kind of indifferent to her. Yeah, you know, good aerial assault. Other than that, I realized she was cute. Other than that, didn't really have any feelings for her. But she's kind of grown on me. She's having the dissension with Bailey every week in the interview. So, it's Io Sky. I think she's grown a little bit of a personality now. She's getting very cutesy, getting a little bit better with the English language. She's younger, not an older type like Asuka, who's over 40. Io is a younger girl. I can get behind Io Sky now. I didn't at first, but now I'm getting behind her. And I think that she could be a big babyface.
Are you surprised? And this is no way, shape, or form a shot on this woman. But I think back like 2 years ago during COVID, and I remember that she was just at ringside, you know, in the corner of Andrade and not doing nothing. And then I remember she had a match and everybody's like, oh my God, she's smaller than AJ Lee. Are you kind of surprised? And if so, maybe pleasantly surprised that Zelina Vega has been able to get into the position that she's in now? I mean, I'll admit it. You know, LWO, the merchandise is through the roof right now. Hmm. But I also feel that the NWO, I'm not talking about LWO, but the NWO design is iconic. You know, just like the Roddy Piper shirt or the Hulkamania shirt. And I think we have a generation of wrestling fans now that were not alive or were not wrestling fans or even old enough during the Attitude Era, you know, or in the 90s. Because, Kevin, it's almost 30 years. You know, in a couple of years, it's going to be 30th anniversary of NWO. So you have a lot of young fans that now see this LWO shirt, and it looks like NWO. It's a cool shirt. It's got nice colors to it. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think the crowd is really into the idea of Santos Escobar or Zelina Vega winning the briefcase. I mean, when Zelina was cutting a promo on Monday, you know, like, she's doing her whole thing and she's like, Santos and I are going to win it for the L. And the fans didn't even pick up and go along with it until she got to the letter O. So I'm happy for her. I'm surprised that she's in the position that she's in now. She worked hard for it. But I got to go with you, Io Sky.
Yeah, and the LWO, I think it's more of a shirt than it is a movement. I think it's more of a fashion thing than it is a movement. And also, the LWO, let's be honest, doesn't have a Hogan, doesn't have a Kevin Nash, a Scott Hall, a decorated world champion or world champion caliber. I mean, yes, Rey Mysterio, but Rey is also on in his years. You know, the NWO had a combination of old and just like Evolution, they had some young upcomers, they had some older veteran wrestlers. Then they incorporated other wrestlers into the fold as time went on.
Yeah.
But they don't. I mean, Rey Mysterio is a big name, but he's not that big a name. You know what I mean? Yes. So he can only carry. He's having his individual feuds on his own, other than being the leader of the LWO. That's really by de facto to Escobar, who I don't think the crowd is too familiar with yet.
Yeah.
I mean, Escobar is a good talent and everything, but he's still not, he doesn't get a rousing ovation when he comes out, DT.
Yeah, no, I agree. I listen, Rey Mysterio is a Hall of Famer. Rey Mysterio, I mean, the fans beloved him. And, you know, I think, you know, him being in the LWO is more about, you know, trying to help his fellow Latinos get to the next level more than anything else. But, you know, somebody asked in the chat, shout out to our Patreon family who's live with us right now. Absolutely. Ransford said, how did the LWO merch did in 98? I'll answer it this way, and I think Kev will agree with me on this. First of all, the NWO was around at that time. So if Kev and I had a choice of buying an NWO shirt or an LWO shirt, we would have bought the NWO. But not only that, you got to understand who were the members of the LWO in 1998. Guys, sorry, I know you had Eddie, I know you had Ray, and you even had Hoovy. But outside of that, they had Hector Garza, El Dandy, Ciclope, Silver King, Volano number 5. I mean, they had Psychosis for a brief time, but the point is, you know, they had a lot of members of the LWO that nobody gave a fuck about. They really pushed it more of Latinos.
Yeah.
You know, because in WCW at that time, they weren't trying to push the LWO merchandise for all of the fans. It was almost like the LWO was like what the Disciples of Apocalypse were in the WWF at the time, or what was Savio Vega's group?
Los Boricuas.
Yeah, Los Boricuas. So this was like their gang faction in WCW. It did not sell extremely well. Unless you were Latino.
It didn't. I mean, again, I think it's just more of a fashion statement for people to wear. You know, it's trendy right now. But I don't see it lasting the test of time. Like, I don't think 10 years from now, God willing, we're still doing podcasts. And we're like, wow, you know, that vintage LWO shirt selling from 2023. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everyone agrees with that. It's for now, cash in. You know, the all these wrestlers can make a little extra bucks. But I think it's if we go 6 months from now, it won't even be in the top 10 anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think, you know, people deep down inside have to agree with me when I say this. You know, I always felt, and if you look at the stats, it backs up what I'm going to say, and I've said this before, you know, up until very recently, Santos Escobar lost almost every match that they were brought up. The LWO, at one point, Zelina Vega had a better winning percentage or had more wins than Santos Escobar or Joaquin Wilder, Cruz del Toro did when they did the LWO faction. They were 0-13 at one point. But I have always felt, even when they reformed the LWO, I don't see Cruz del Toro or Joaquin Wilde ever becoming WWE tag team champions. And it's not because the Usos had the belts for so long. It's not because Owens and Zayn have the belts now. I just feel that they are, like, I hate to say this, but they're filler. I mean, at the end of the day, if the LWO is going to have a match, one of those two motherfuckers is going to be the ones getting pinned every time. I don't see them having a big future in WWE.
No, I cash in now on the merch if they're making money and pushing shirts. It's a for now thing. I don't know how long it'll last, 2 months, 6 months, rest of the year. I don't know. But it is a for now thing. And, you know, again, that's cool that something caught fire at least this year in 2023.
Yeah. And not to mention, they don't really even mention Legado del Fantasma anymore. I mean, other than maybe like the name for Wild and Del Toro, because it's kind of easier to remember than the names. But, you know, I mean, I look at it like this. They couldn't get Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza over. Who of those two teams has more charisma that might be more that girls are into? Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wild or Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza?
Probably Cruz del Toro and the other
really?
Dude.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I think so. The opposite. But then again, I'm not a lady, so. And we're just talking heterosexual here, you know. You know, we got to be careful in 2023, you know, people, shit. On Sunday sit down, I talked something I had a problem with the gay pride parade, and Jesus, I opened up my email, even though I don't advertise my email much anymore, and I got, like, hate.
Oh,
and I'm like, wait a minute. I absolutely celebrate the Gay Pride Parade every year. I know the history of it. I have talked to a lot of my favorite artists in the R&B world growing up. We're all gay. My only problem with the Gay Pride Parade is you had a guy that looked like a fat Kenny Rogers in tidy whities twerking in front of children.
Yeah, no, that's no good. I mean, I feel the same way. It's just, I mean, it's certain things are getting a little bit out of hand here. And meanwhile, there's a lot of other things that are not getting taken care of at all.
Hey, guys, gals, this Money in the Bank segment talking about the Gay Pride Parade is brought to you by, it's how I even got to that, I don't know. But all right, let's get back. Let me reel myself in. You know, let's keep this on predictions. Yeah, so I think we all agree. Io Sky is going to win this. She's going to have a falling out, I think, with Bailey. It'll be interesting to see if Bailey Bailey could end up screwing Io Sky and someone else could end up grabbing that briefcase. I don't want to see Trish get it. Nothing against Trish.
No, I don't think Trish is going to get it.
No, and I'm not sure if I want Becky Lynch to get it. I mean, I know they teased the interaction with her and Rhea Ripley on Raw, but why do they need a briefcase to have Becky feud with Rhea Ripley? They don't need the briefcase for that.
They don't know. And also, Becky in that promo when she went in the past Rhea yesterday, she had said, "I don't even need a title."
Yes.
Like, you know, like, just, so that's was kind of telling. What did she say that for?
Yeah.
You know, like, in other words, I can beat you, but even if I don't, I'm still a top girl here without a title. Are you?
Yes.
You know, so that, like, I'm like, okay, that might be telling that Becky doesn't need the belt.
Yeah. And, you know, very cool that Rhea Ripley was on NXT tonight. We're recording this June 27, 2023. Nice to see Rhea Ripley make a cameo in NXT. I think she will actually wrestle a match in NXT very, very soon just to give the perception that she is wrestling and working and fighting. But at the end of the day, you know, she's champion for about 3 months in Zelina Vega and Natalya. I mean, that's... No disrespect intended, but that's not very impressive.
No, it's not impressive. And I'm trying to even envision who probably she would wrestle in NXT. You know, maybe they would give her Lola Vice or somebody like that, maybe one of the new girls. Because I don't know who else could, unless they want to match her up with Tiffany. But I don't see that. I mean, yeah, Rhea is now starting to be questioned about, you know, her run not being so impressive.
Well, Becky brought it up too.
Yep.
She brought it up on Raw, which probably was, I mean, you know, obviously it's scripted, but probably not the smartest thing to do because I don't think a lot of people were keen on the fact that Rhea Ripley's had kind of a shitty first 3 months as champion.
No, and now they're going to obsess on it. Now that's the interesting thing. I wonder if they even realize what they did now because they're going to get a lot of these obsessive fans who are now going to say, yeah, Rhea... You know, her title, you know, she got the belt and now she's boring. Like, I can see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, yeah, Natty, it's almost like, remember when Rocky, DT and Rocky 3?
Yes.
When Rocky's winning all the matches and Mickey's telling them they were like, you know, they were just kind of thrown in. Mr. T is like, you're fighting all these bums. You know, you're ducking everybody. He goes, oh, I had several title defense. He goes, yeah, against a bunch of bums. I mean, I hate to say that Selena and Natty are not the female version of bums, but come on, let's be honest. Those are TV matches at best.
I'm going to tell you something that you're going to get a kick out of. And I know some people already know what I'm about to say. I know that you know, don't always tune into, you know, other shows. I know Jason, very cool, and others. But and yesterday you pretty much were taken into Mets. And I don't blame you because if I didn't have to cover Raw yesterday, I probably wouldn't have watched it. But yesterday, when I was talking about Rhea Ripley, I actually brought up Rocky III.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and the only difference is, and people that tune into Monday's post-Raw show will back me up. People live right now will back me up in the chat. I took a different scene from the movie. I actually said that if you compare Rocky Balboa to Mr. T, when Rocky Balboa was celebrating and he was in the gym with his Brothers dumb song playing in the background, and they showed Mr. T beating up people. I said, how would that have looked if Mr. T kept just beating up Nat? Like, oh, they kept showing him beat up the same boxer and over and over and over again. I said, the only difference is that instead of if Natalya was Rocky, I even did a Mickey impersonation yesterday. What did I say? When Mickey was like, stay down, Rock! I sound more like Vince McMahon than Mickey, but he would have been like finish him. Like, Natalya, Rhea Ripley next week on Raw needs to go Mortal Kombat on Natalya, and instead of this is my brutality, it's this is my fatality. But that is cool that both you and I brought up a Rocky III reference to describe Rhea Ripley and Natalya. That's pretty fucking wild.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know you did that. That is interesting.
Yeah. So we're going with Io Sky. Zoe Stark a little bit too soon. Bayley, she's going to be busy with Io Sky. Becky Lynch, Wakana, and Zelina Vega, no shot. No disrespect, but no shot. So that leaves two matches. Which one you want to talk about next? The Bloodline, Civil War, or the Men's Money in the Bank?
Well, it's Men's Money in the Bank with the Civil War last.
Ricochet versus Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Butch, Damian Priest, Logan Paul. Who do you think is going to win? Who do you want to see win? Because that could have two different answers, because I kind of have two different answers too.
I want to see LA Knight win. If there's any justice in the world, he will. But I also, as a personal favorite of mine, is Damian Priest.
Yes.
So Damian Priest and LA Knight for me. Anybody else wins it, quite honestly, I'm like, eh. But those two, it'd be a big deal to me and a lot of people, because those are two older gentlemen, both 40, by the way, ironically, both age 40, and both kind of had a do-over. I didn't even realize that this is actually LA Knight's third time with WWE in his career. It's third time. I thought it was twice. It's three. Yeah. So I watched the interview with Chris Van Vliet earlier today. Yeah. So I knew we would maybe talk about it on the show. And Damian Priest, you know, came from, you know, being this big overweight guy, Punishment Martinez and Ring of Honor, kind of meandering there for a while. Again, got a late start in his career in wrestling. And now here they are. And now, when do you pull the trigger on two 40-year-olds in their prime right now? When do you pull the trigger? And who gets the trigger first? I would probably say LA Knight because he's hot. No, and look, Damian Priest, match of the year with Bad Bunny and stuff. That's talk about money in the bank. He's got money in the credit bank with all of us fans. All of us totally appreciate Damian Priest now. And we can see him. I don't think fans could lose if either one of those guys win the DT, because you can make an argument for either one of those guys. But Damian Priest certainly has bigger matches in the pocket and performances than LA Knight has had. LA Knight hasn't had that match yet, DT.
Yeah.
You know, that we can look to. Damian Priest, I mean, just play that Bad Bunny. Show that to anybody, and it was a wow. But LA Knight hasn't had that wow ring moment. He's had wow promo moments, but is that the same as ring moments, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he beat Rey Mysterio last week, who is a Hall of Famer,
right.
but it didn't feel special.
No, it didn't.
It felt surprising, and yeah, that's the problem with LA Knight at this point. I mean, he's insanely over with the fans, and I joked about this over the weekend. I said, this is WWE's thinking. This is not mine. I don't agree with all of it, but if you look at it in WWE's eyes, they think they're doing the right thing, because whatever they've been doing, LA Knight is insanely over. You know, so the more they keep pulling back with him, the more the fans are even over with him. But you are right. LA Knight, he is the fan favorite, but at the same time, in ring, he doesn't have any momentum. He doesn't have any really impressive wins. With all due respect, and I am a fucking huge fan of LA Knight, I'm looking right in front of me autographs of Max Dupree. I don't want to part with them because I think they're going to be a pretty rare thing to have in the future, but LA Knight is more of a character than the actual wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, people are more into, yeah, you know, like everything that he does, his antics, which is why, and I brought this up last week, I personally think he has the best chance of winning this briefcase. Because if you just imagine the briefcase, like Damian Priest walking around with it, I don't know how much I want to see him walking around with a green briefcase. You know what I mean? Yeah. Butch, no shot. Santos Escobar, no shot. Nakamura and Ricochet, no shot. Are you concerned at all about Logan Paul? Because Logan Paul, like the 24/7 title, that Logan Paul will be doing his podcast and he'll be making appearances and going to MMA fights and he's got the briefcase with him. It's almost like when Bad Bunny, wasn't he the 24/7 champion? And Bad Bunny was bringing the title everywhere he went?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, but I'm going to keep the faith that it'll be LA Knight or Damian Priest. But I'll go with LA Knight because he's the hotter hand right now, and he's getting the even though again Damian Priest and LA Knight are and Logan Paul are technically all heels.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not even like there's any baby. Well, the only baby face in the world, Ricochet's baby face and Nakamura's baby face. But I'm gonna go with LA Knight just to cut to the chase. Just yeah. LA Knight.
I really want to see Damian Priest win this. I mean,
I would love to see him win it. Yeah,
you know, it's funny because. If you look at his look and you listen to his voice and you see his charisma and you see his in-ring ability and you see the size of him, he's like Diesel meets Razor Ramon meets Bret Hart.
Yeah, I mean, he combines all the ingredients, and you're right, he's got a great promo. I see online girls like him. He's kind of a cool guy where guys don't see him as like, you know, guys aren't threatened by him as like some over-the-top pretty boy. You know, so he's kind of like a cool friend to have. You can picture he's into metal and music and rock. He's also into Spanish music. And, you know, there's a big Latino audience, especially here in the Northeast. And then he's got Bronx roots and Puerto Rico roots. He's got all the things to get him over in certain markets.
Yeah.
LA, you know, I saw someone saying today, will someone admit, for God's sakes, that LA Knight is basically a all-white version of The Rock?
Nah.
I mean, he is. I mean, he was talking with Van Vliet today how he doesn't even realize that he is doing rock sometimes when he talks. And he's even saying sometimes he catches himself. Do I sound like, you know, Sean, his real name, Ricker? Or do I sound like The Rock? Am I doing rock now? Like, even when in this interview, do I sound like rock? So I think he does have a thing where he admits that Rock was one of his favorite wrestlers of all time. I never heard him mention that Rock was a big influence. So I just thought that he borrowed a little bit from him. But he is very, very cognizant of the fact that he does sound like Rock, and that he's not accused of ripping him off, but heavily influenced by him. Yeah. DT. I mean, his cadence, sometimes people have said, close your eyes and you hear him. Who is that? And people would say, is that Dwayne Johnson? So it is that close. He's very, but some people will say that, like, why are fans not calling that out though? Aren't we big on people impersonating other people?
I'll tell you why, because there's a big difference between impersonation and inspiration. And I think for, you know, people with that are level-headed, that really appreciate somebody working hard, they see that LA Knight is inspired by The Rock. People out there that just want clicks, views, you know, attention, they will call him an impersonator of The Rock. There's nothing wrong with being inspired by someone. I mean, you go back in the day, Kev, Jesse Ventura, you know, everybody talks about the superstar Billy Graham reference. I mean, Kev, when we were fans in the middle 80s or even the early 80s when it was the East-West connection, did we look at Jesse Ventura and say, oh, he's a superstar Billy Graham fucking ripoff? No, or did we just appreciate what they were doing?
Right, no. You know when that came into play, DT, is when the Renegade came out, and everyone's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like, ripping off the Ultimate Warrior. That's the first time dirt sheets and stuff in that mid to late 90s where people like the Renegade, dude, get your own gimmick. I mean, that was the first time I saw an uproar about ripping somebody off. Yeah. So that I think that, but that was, and I think that was intentional because they couldn't get Warrior at the time. So they did a cheap knockoff and I, you know, was that a joke on the fan? I still don't know what that was.
For me, the ultimate troll job, and it's not talked about enough, and I've brought this up so many times over the years. For me, the first ever ultimate troll job that anybody has, that Vince McMahon has ever done, was Superfly Sci-Fi-Affi.
Oh, Madison that's another Square. One. Yes. Yeah,
that is the ultimate.
I remember when he came out at the Garden and people were like, what?
Remember he came out to the song Shaft? They gave the fans the Shaft. My everyone out there, seriously, you gotta at some
on
point,
YouTube. And if you remember, they were alluding to the return of a superstar or the big the big night for someone from the Fiji Islands coming to Madison Square Garden. And when he came out, you're gonna hear a pin drop. That my brother, I think, thought we were at that. I don't remember us being at that Garden card. I don't think we were. I think we were watching at home on the Madison Square Garden network. But I even said to myself, wow, did they really intentionally try to, and they didn't call it trolling then. I mean, they just basically called it, you know, fucking putting one over on the fans. But I don't know if I think they wanted Sci-Fi-Affi to work. It just didn't work.
I agree with you, but I will never forget it. They played the Shaft music and Howard Finkel, I remember it clear as day. He goes, from the Fiji Islands.
Oh, yeah. Everyone thought it was Snuka.
And
yeah,
it was he had a long pause. And like you said, everybody thought it was Snuka. And he says, weighing in at whatever his weight was, he goes, Superfly. And everybody lost their shit. And then Sci-Fi-Affi comes out. And then you hear Howie Finkel go, Sci-Fi-Affi. And then
it's like, who the fuck is that?
Oh my god! I got to be honest with you. If you one day you got to watch the video again, the saddest thing about it, and you kind of got to feel like Renegade. When Sci-Fi-Affi came down to ringside, he was looking at all the fans, and he was like, holy fucking shit, I'm over. Like, he had this smile on his face, like he couldn't believe how well received he was. As soon as he entered that ring and everybody realized that it wasn't Snuka, they booed him out of the fucking building. It's amazing how they ripped him apart. But, you know, L.A. Knight, he's inspired by The Rock. He's not trying to impersonate The Rock. There's a big difference, and you and I get it. Most of everybody tuning in gets it. But if L.A. Knight, you know, was inspired by The Rock and a little bit of what he does sounds that way, is there really anything wrong with that?
No, it's not wrong with that at all, actually. I'm L.A. Knight, I think, is a special case. You know, he's got the looks, he's got the charm, he's got the appeal. People are digging him. He's hot right now, as Chris Van Vliet even said. He was, you know, he was noting the interview that he's doing with him now, and he's like, I'm telling you, I feel it. Like, you know, this is the last interview. You're at another level the next time I speak to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think Chris is right. I mean, he's like, you could just feel it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whether we speak in 3 months or 6 months, you are on another level in this company. I just, there's no way anything could derail it. I think what Chris probably, he didn't say it, but the only thing that could derail it is illness or injury. You know, knock on wood, nothing like that happens to LA Knight.
Yeah. I see LA Knight with the briefcase. As much as I'm rooting for Damian Priest, I see LA Knight with it. I think the promos going on Raw, showing up on SmackDown, teasing it, he's going to cash it in on Rollins, Reigns. I think it's everything.
Yeah.
So this leaves us with the Bloodline Civil War. The Usos taking on Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. You know, this one, it might be a little bit tougher to actually predict the winner, because I think almost everyone would immediately say, oh, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. You can't have the heavyweight champion, you know, to get pinned. I mean, not necessarily. I think Solo Sikoa doesn't happen often, but I think Solo Sikoa may be the one pinned in this, because do you really want Jay to be pinned? Do you really want Jimmy to be pinned? You know, like, if you have one of the Usos pinned, then one looks a little inferior than the other. So I almost feel by default we may see the Usos beat Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. What do you think?
I think that's a good, I think that's, I'm trying to think like what, I mean, it's a tag match. Could Reigns technically get pinned? Yes. I don't think it's likely. I think they want to keep him strong, but he could get pinned. And that's a way of Roman being a little humbled when people are like, oh, Roman got pinned and he'll do it for a family member. I think Roman, if he's going to put anybody over, would prefer to do it for one of his cousins. So there's a possibility that Roman could get pinned, and that would cause, oh, my God, Roman's been pinned for the first time in some odd years. And it's a tag match, and Roman could always be like, oh, I, you know, and Roman can make excuses, blame Solo, blame the flight. You know, he was on a plane for hours. He wasn't feeling well. I mean, I can picture the whole promo the next day. But you're right. I think Solo most likely will take the pin. But I'm still, you know, as we give our predictions, that's what, you know, what the show is.
Yeah.
That we're doing today, I still think that Reigns and Solo are going to pull it out and okay. get the win. I don't know how. I mean, someone was saying, I don't believe this because I know he's in MLW contract, but you could see an appearance by a new member of the Bloodline, Jacob Fatu. I think that's just a rumor. I don't think that's just some fan, what do you call, fantasy booking.
Yeah.
You know, because people are saying, you know, can there be additions to the Bloodline in some roundabout way, third, fourth cousin kind of things? Sure. I mean, it's Bloodline. If they could get a Jacob Fatu, sure, he could be in the Bloodline. There is a connection. There are some other members of the family that are actually in. Lance Anoy is wrestling now. So, yeah, this could go on. I don't know if they're going to focus so much, though, about bringing other Bloodline members in. Because I'm thinking of how this could be a clusterfuck. Who could interfere? That would have to be a new member, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a decisive win, DT, because I think this has to go to SummerSlam in some way. Maybe like a three-way dance with not necessarily Solo, but the two Usos versus Roman Reigns, a triple threat kind of thing. And I think that's what goes to, because we all agree that Cody is not wrestling Reigns this year.
No.
I think it'll be next year. And they're going to preoccupy Reigns with this Bloodline feud. So I think this, much like a Marvel movie, the Civil Wars goes to another movie with, and then another title starring the same guys with just a different enemy to overcome. So this Civil Wars thing, I think this is just chapter one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So either team can win, but I'm still going to go with Reigns and Solo winning. I just have this feeling. I don't know how, but I think they're gonna squeak out the win. It'll be a cheating situation, which leads to, all right, you know, that's it. You know, put the belt on the line against me and Jimmy, the three, you know, three-way at SummerSlam or something like that. Because I don't know how they can leave Jimmy out, and why would Jay necessarily get the title shot? I know that he has more experience and more wins as a solo act than Jimmy, but Jimmy started this whole thing, so don't you think Jimmy has to continue to be involved?
Absolutely. And I'm just brainstorming right now. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but I just want to throw it out there because we like to think outside the box sometimes. What about a scenario where Solo Sikoa ends up getting pinned, and then on the following SmackDown, Roman Reigns calls out Solo Sikoa for losing? He was the one responsible for losing to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and now he's responsible for losing against the Usos, and then maybe we have a falling out with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, and then we end up at SummerSlam with the Bloodline in a four-way for Roman Reigns' championship.
That's a possibility, too. I mean, I like the, what I like about this Civil Wars thing is there's so many different possibilities of which ways this could go. Because some people like watch Solo turns on Reigns at the end of the night, then Reigns is on the Island of Realm Sea all by himself. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. That's where maybe there is a Jacob Fatu or Gorillas of Destiny or Lance Anoy or someone else comes out of the fray. I mean, I just don't picture three against one and Roman takes them all on. Then what? Roman beats them all throughout the year and then Cody wins the Royal Rumble. I mean, I you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, that would drag out too much.
Yeah, I mean, Roman by himself, Paul Heyman is not a physical presence. He doesn't really interfere that much in matches. So I don't know if Reigns they want to do that to him, put him in a position as the world champion where he's by himself. He's got to battle his three cousins weekly, getting jumped. I mean, how do they work? DT, doesn't Reigns kind of need a henchman?
Yes. You almost feel like he does. Maybe he's, and you know what? Maybe it's someone that's not even in the bloodline.
Again, there's been talks of other people supposedly, you know, that WWE's interested in. There could be a new character introduced, possibly almost like a Big Boss Man for Jim Cornette back in the day. Remember?
Yeah.
Like Mr. Hughes or something like that. Does it necessarily have to be a relative? Or is Roman Reigns, or is Paul Heyman hire someone to watch Reigns' back as like a Diesel to Shawn Michaels? Because you could say, well, Reigns is a bit, you know, Reigns is a big guy himself. But if he's up against the odds, he's going to need help. It doesn't matter how big he is.
Yeah, let Brock Lesnar be his bodyguard.
How funny would that be? So, yeah, could it be some crazy thing like that where Lesnar teams up with Reigns and Paul? I mean, DT, you just said it as a goof, but, you know, can you imagine that happens?
I know. And you know what? That would be interesting because now you introduce Brock Lesnar with Roman Reigns again, and then Brock Lesnar has the interaction with Cody Rhodes still, and then somehow it ends up going from Cody Rhodes to Brock Lesnar to Cody Rhodes and teasing Roman Reigns once again.
Yeah, I like the possibility. I like that I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. That's why I'm looking forward to Saturday. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't think we can lose either way. I don't think nothing really rests on anybody winning. It's for like family honor. There's no titles on the line or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I don't see how anybody would be just super angry about the end result. Nobody loses anything really. And not for nothing, it's going to lead into another match. It's a civil war. And the civil war didn't end, DT, in one little battle.
No. You get up and you fight again, and I have a feeling the Usos may even do something like where, because remember, they said in their promo last week that they still love, you know, Roman Reigns. So maybe they do something like with Shawn Michaels did to Ric Flair, where you see them mouth like, you know, I love you, and then they super kick him in the mouth.
It's possible, like Twix is saying, that someone could cash in. I don't see them doing that on the, you know, no offense to the UK. I don't see them. They're going to do that on American soil at WrestleMania. I don't see them doing that in the UK. I just don't see it.
Why? First of all, you're not going to do it on the women's side. And on the men's side, you're going to have somebody cash in against Seth Rollins, which would make Seth Rollins' reign look pretty awful. And then you're certainly not going to have him cash in on Roman Reigns. That just totally destroys Cody Rhodes. So, no, there's no cash-ins. You got to keep that briefcase around for a while. But one last question before I let you go, because I know we were gunning to finish by 11:30. Which match do you think opens the show? Which match do you think closes it out? Because I'm almost thinking we're going to get the women's Money in the Bank to open, and I think we're going to get the Bloodline Civil War to close out Money in the Bank.
You're thinking just like me. I was just going to say that. That's exactly how I think it's going to go. I think the women open it up with Money in the Bank first, and Civil War closes it. Definitely not. Civil War has to go on last. But you're right. I believe they can open with a bang and give the women Money in the Bank the opening spot there. It'll be perfect, especially they got UK roots with some of the girls. So yeah, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think outside the women's tag team match, I don't think you could have a bad match on the card. I think even though the women's match for the briefcase might be a little bit of a clusterfuck, there's a lot of little stories. I want to see Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark. I think that split is going to be teased even a little bit because Trish Stratus is not back on TV for the long haul. Maybe to SummerSlam, but I don't see, she's, you know, got a very busy personal life, and you know, she's up there in age. She's not going to start putting her body through the rigors like before. So I think that you got a little storyline there. You got a little storyline with Becky Lynch and Trish. You could segue to Becky and Zoe, and then you got Bayley and Io Sky doing. Unfortunately, this kind of leaves Zelina Vega out in the cold.
Yeah, it does. Someone's got to be the first to fall. And I think Zelina Vega is just probably happy to be here. I'm happy for her too. Yeah, and she definitely made the right decision. I mean, what would she have done in AEW? I mean, I know her husband works there, but she's better off over here, and she's has that we talked about it. You know, she had her moment, in, which a lot of wrestlers don't get to have their moment in their home country or their, you know, their home area. So I don't think she has too many complaints, even if she's the first one eliminated, so to speak, or, you know, taken out of that match. I don't think she would complain because there's a lot of girls back there who aren't even on television.
Yeah, I'm happy for her because you see her and she belongs. Yeah. Is she a threat? No, but she belongs. I like her. I accept her. I don't see her out there and say to myself, why are they giving this person out? You know what I mean? I don't have any of those thoughts, which is great. But I'm really looking forward to this event. It's going to be interesting watching this at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday.
Yeah, I forgot that it's not Saturday night. It's Saturday afternoon, so I can watch it because I have to work Saturday night. But I'm glad I can watch the whole thing and not have to stress about watching the clock. I can watch the whole thing in its entirety.
And I think it'll be a manageable 3 hours.
Yeah, if I can meet up with you on Monday, I'll let you know. So I'll leave it at that. I'll see what my schedule is, and I'll hit you up. And then, of course, look for DT to post it if we did work out the time frames and stuff. And then we can post it to social media and let everybody know about it.
Sounds like a plan. Kev, have a good 4th of July. Enjoy Money in the Bank. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll definitely talk to you. Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. You got your Patreon show Thursday night, 10:15 p.m.
Yeah, I got the Patreon show on Thursday night, so I'll see a lot of you guys in the chat here on Thursday. Thanks, Ant, and I will talk to you soon.
Have a good one. Be well, my friend.
Thanks.
Take care. All right, everybody. That is your Money in the Bank predictions. At the very end, you might be somewhat confused a little bit. What we were talking about as far as Monday is we're not sure if we're going to be doing a joint Money in a Bank recap as of yet because it is the 4th of July next Tuesday. And Kev, in the metal music business and promoting shows, 4th of July weekend is a very busy weekend in the club scene. So as of right now, what we are thinking of doing is if we are both available Monday afternoon, which would be July 3rd, we will tape a Money in the Bank recap and review of the show, and then I would post it online for everyone early Tuesday. This way, you spend your 4th of July, and you're just hanging out, maybe having a little barbecue, and you want to check out our little recap and review, it'll be available. But that is not 100% as of yet because it is a holiday weekend and we have to see what the schedules are. If Kev is not available on that Monday, then I will probably add it to Monday night's post-Raw show, which might even end up being a good thing because we will already have the fallout of Money in the Bank and see if anything transpires as a result. But this Friday, SmackDown, for everybody in the United States, it will be taped earlier in the day because there is a time difference. Spoilers will be out there, so you'll definitely know in advance what goes down on SmackDown Friday night. For my Patreon friends out there and for my channel members on YouTube, there will be a predictions contest with real money up for grabs. The contest will be posted Thursday night, and you will have until Friday night at midnight to post your entry. So just a little heads up for everybody there. But I tell you, looking at this card up and down, 7 matches, I have nothing against the women's tag team title match. I like all 4 women. But to me, that match probably has my least amount of interest. But everything else, I'm hoping Gunther and Matt Riddle fucking kill it. And I hope it's not a one and done. I hope Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, even though we talked about it on Monday, and I'll get out of here, it's not fair to Kev for me to start going on long rants, but you know, I mentioned this on Monday's post-Raw recap. If you do a Google image search of Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor, you will be reminded how much these two guys interacted over the years. There are moments that we have totally forgotten, some probably intentionally. If I took a shot every time Seth Rollins would call Finn Balor the Demon King back in the day, I probably would have had 2 kidneys transplanted already. They have had some great moments in the past, but they've also had some pretty shitty moments in the past. Believe it or not, right now might be their hottest of their feuds to date. And when you look back at Finn Balor's WWE career, you know, we look at Edge, and some people will say that John Cena was his greatest rival. You look at John Cena, some people will say Randy Orton or Brock Lesnar was his greatest rival. You look at Shawn Michaels, you know, or Bret Hart, they kind of interact with each other. You look at Finn Balor and his WWE career, Finn Balor, his greatest foe in WWE may end up being Seth Rollins at the end of the day. So even though we kind of know, you know, that Seth Rollins is walking out of Money in the Bank, still with the World Heavyweight Championship, I'm hoping, and I don't hope this often, I'm hoping that there's some clusterfuck finish, because I know that this feud will continue. And of all the times that they have battled it out, you know, I'm digging this now. I mean, Finn Balor getting injured 7 years ago sucked. I mean, I remember that night, we covered it. But Finn Balor was still new to the main roster. And, you know, the fans really were not invested in him like they have now. And he's on fire with the Judgment Day. I think Damian Priest and Finn Balor may end up being a WrestleMania match at WrestleMania 40. I think they could end up going that route. But we are still kind of a long ways away from there. But everyone, I hope you enjoy Money in the Bank if you're going to tune into it. I want to thank you for joining us for this recap. Preview and predictions, not recap and review. Jumping the gun a little bit. So stay tuned. I will definitely alert everyone by next Monday what we will do as far as a recap and a review. So everyone, much love as always. Be well. If everybody was live on Patreon right now, as I always do. I couldn't do it last week because I had some technical difficulties here. Everything on my end was frozen, so I really couldn't see everybody. But thank you as always for your support. Much appreciated. If you're a member of our Patreon family, don't forget Kev Castle will be doing his Castle Chronicles show on Thursday at 10:15 p.m. And if anybody wants to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony, cheap plug. That page has been up for, what, 5-6 years already? There are thousands of hours of exclusive shows that have never been posted publicly, ad-free episodes of all the shows that air every week, and little contests and other stuff. So you'll get your fill if you want to go check it out. My friends, enjoy Money in a Bank. Be well. We'll talk to you all again soon. Ciao.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah.